Tonight we're going to have a do-it-yourself healing program. And we're going to begin it with you taking your identity into consciousness and unselfing right out of every so-called problem you have. You are the healer. You are the patient. Maybe you're going to come to a quick conclusion, maybe a slow one. You're getting no help whatsoever at this moment. You're merely taking into consciousness that which troubles you and that which is the truth of you, and seeing if you can reach a state of inner peace which says it is done. After you've had a moment or two of this, we'll get into some clues as how you can help yourself, possibly in a way you haven't tried, and possibly incorporating some of the ideas that have been floating into your consciousness during the past few days. The motive behind this is to establish that you, as a student of truth, must be a light unto the world. And therefore, if your consciousness has any element of darkness, that degree of light will not shine forth into the world, and the Father's will through you is being blocked in its outer visible expression. So you are in a self-healing program. And then when you can feel either a degree of success or a lack of success, we will move into suggestion. Those of you who have nothing to heal, I know, are healing your neighbor. Now the question I'd like to ask you is, the moment you started this self-healing, ask yourself, what did you think about? I don't want to know. I want you to know. Did you think about a physical body? Did you think about a condition? Did you think about some material gain or some material lack or some material substance you wanted removed? If so, you are not in healing work. That is not the kind of healing we do in the spiritual movement. Spiritual healing has nothing to do with physical bodies. And yet it has everything to do with them in a different way. It has nothing to do with physical businesses or physical relationships, and yet it has everything to do with them. What we are doing in the spiritual work is very different than any other kind of healing on this earth. There is no patient. There is no practitioner. The minute you have one or the other, you're not in spiritual healing. The word healing is a misnomer. There is not a person on earth who has the power to heal spiritually. Spirit does what is called the healing, and it does it so well because it has nothing to heal. And if I'm speaking in paradoxes, it is to make you reach beyond the mind to see that there was once a great healer on this earth. He never said he was a healer. People said he was a healer. He wasn't healing anything. He was revealing the nature of reality. People call it healing. He had no patience. All he saw was the invisible Son of God everywhere. He had no evil to remove from this earth. All he saw was the light of God. He was therefore the perfect healer because he had no one and nothing to heal. He lived in the reality of God's presence. And when we think of self-healing, if we do not go into that consciousness which knows there's no one here to heal, we've got two strikes against us. Now, I know this isn't the typical way of the physical healer, the medical profession, or those who must make contact with the physical person. And that's why I say this is different. I'm not saying it's better or worse. I'm saying it's different. We make no contact with a person. And that's important for you to realize, that if you're trying to make a mental or physical contact with a person, you're not in spiritual healing. You're not in soul healing. You're in either mental or physical healing, and that is not the infinite way nature of healing. Our work is to know the Spirit of God where a form appears to be. Our work is to know spiritual truth, not with the lips, but with a consciousness. Our work is to know that out there, there is no person and no patient and no body to be healed. Our work is to know that the appearance called body does not exist outside of our sense mind. If you have the outer to be healed, you have lost your way. There is no outer in this work. And so Joel never had a patient. And he never considered himself a practitioner, rather the expression of the Christ on earth. And everyone said, what a marvelous healer. He never touched a patient with his hands, mostly because many of his patients were thousands of miles away. They were absent healings in many cases, just a voice on the phone or a letter in the mail. Nobody to touch, no person to reach that far, no mental healing, no casting of thought in that direction. But the principle you learned the last few days, that everywhere is here, and that simultaneity is the law of the divine invisible, and that therefore this which appears in time, which requires healing, is a sequence. A person was good, now a person is ill, and now a person is getting better or worse. This isn't simultaneity. This is sequence, and sequence is in time. And God, Spirit, does not function in time. And so spiritual healing must now apply the rule that all healing is done outside time. That's our method. And you have learned about living outside time, and now we want to see how this will affect your self-healing and the light of healing that you project as you move through the world. Instantly, your consciousness goes outside time, and you rest there. And now, truth in consciousness does everything else. You're not in human thought. They're not concerned about where the problem is or what the problem is or even who has the problem. And yet, you are relying on the infinite wisdom of Spirit itself, to which you are now attuned, to reveal its perfection where that perfection needs to be revealed. As long as you make your inner contact outside time, the radar of Spirit, the power of Spirit, changes the human concept, lifts the eye. And now go back into self-healing and try it that way. Your beginning is, I don't care if it's a physical problem, or a mental problem, or a business problem, or a relationship problem, or any kind of human problem, or 10 of them. Outside time, there are no problems. And outside time is right here, and everywhere in this universe is right here outside time. Dwell there. Abide outside time and permit the light of Spirit to do all the work. Let Christ do the healing. Now, if your consciousness is not fully developed to the point where God is the riveting post of your consciousness, then you're going to find that you're just in a quiet with your eyes closed. Nothing is really happening. But in this quiet, if you have previously built up the conscious knowledge that God is, only God is, then there is no problem to enter your conscious knowledge of God is. And in the infinite way, spiritual truth in consciousness is the healer, because it reveals there's nothing to heal. There was a time, and it still works very effectively, when you go through a four-step process. And the first was, you were called, you were asked to help, the information was given to you, which you quickly discarded. And then you went into the knowledge number one. There is no condition in God. Two, there is no person in God. Three, because there is no condition and no person, there is nothing for me to heal. All that is present is I, the invisible, which is the eye of the patient and the eye of my own being. And you wait for that inner click, and the patient says, oh, I feel better. The depth and capacity of you to reach the deepest silence possible always determined the recovery of the patient. Now, undoubtedly, we have not been at a 100% level of effectiveness. We used to feel pretty good if we could say, I'm at a 70 or 80% level. That was almost incredible. And then you find that when you're out of it for 3 weeks, you go down to 60% and 50%. You begin to wonder where you put the capacity. You realize that unless you're doing it consciously all the time, it's hard to recover. But now we're introducing another principle to add to your work, which can increase your degree of effectiveness, and that is that time is not passing. How you apply that to your healing work, whether it's self-healing or healing for others, depends on how well you understand the principle that time is not passing. Everything that happens that you've got to heal is happening in time that is not passing. And unless you can walk across that invisible line which says, well, I'm still going to try to heal it, you're going to go right into time. So you've got to see if it's in time that isn't passing, it isn't happening. Even if the patient is quite concerned about it and thinks it's happening. Your job is to be useful, not to be conciliatory and agree, yes, I know you've got this and I'm going to help you. You have to live in the truth. And so you have to merely acknowledge the call or letter or whatever and go to work without explanation. You might say, I will be with you. You might say, I will do my work immediately. And it's always wise to ask the patient to call back. Maybe not the next day, but within a few days or a week at the most. Otherwise, you can go on for 3 or 4 weeks. Never hear and not realize that you're supposed to still be working. So it's very important not to let the patient run the show for you. Set down the ground rules. Contact me at this time, at that day. Contact me this way. Let me know. I can't work for you if I don't know what's happening. But how you do it is your business. No one else. If you get into a lengthy explanation of what you're going to do, you've lost it. The teaching does not come simultaneous with the helping. There are exceptions, and you'll know when. But basically, your job is to restore the soul consciousness of the patient, which in turn takes care of revealing the absence of the problem. That's your basic job. You can't do it by words. You have to get into soul consciousness yourself, rest there, and then wait until you feel that inner happening. And then you know that I have attained a level of consciousness which in turn now invisibly, momentarily, becomes the level of consciousness of the individual who wanted the help. But today I'd like to concern ourselves with different phases of healing than physical. We all know these and we know where to go. There are many places to go for that type of healing, and you can choose the one that suits you best, that is at the level of where you think you belong. That's where you go. But soul healing is not concerned just with physical form. You remember we did weather work. Now, weather has nothing to do with a person except in the result it may have. We did work on planes in the sky. We did work on automobiles. We were at a place when we had to work on Skylab just at the right time. We did some work on energy and we've seen no results from it. Minor. And maybe we weren't quite doing our work as well at that time because I think we may have hit a point where we wanted to just sort of coast a bit. We had a seminar coming up and perhaps we'll have to go back to energy. The point is, these types of healings are of a universal level. They're not pinpointed down to a person. They're in the world consciousness level. And this is only done through the soul. Obviously, it's not a physical contact. Then there's preventive healing. There's the way you live spiritually, which is actually preventive healing. When you are living in a spiritual consciousness, there's no need for the physical healings because in your spiritual awareness, they don't come to you in that quantity or in that depth. They simply roll by. There's so many different kinds of work you can do in this kind of soul healing. Because I think you might get a clue out of that ear of Malchus in the Bible. Here we have this man's ear cut off, and on his way to crucifixion, the master stops and puts it back on. And then you see, when you analyze what he was doing, if you take another, suppose an eye fell out and he put the eye back, you'd say, oh, he was telling us something about the eye. Well, it's a lot easier to do it with this little thing hanging out over here than an eye. So, He was telling us that the sense of man, and by using one sense, the ear, he was talking of the five, that the five senses of man are always creating the sense of problem, even creating the sense of crucifixion. In the five senses, you have your problem. That's where the problems are. Everything is in the sense consciousness, and even though we believe it's, well, as a practitioner or a healer or whatever you want to call yourself, you always believe that your patient is coming to you and that the patient is out there. Just like you believe the sun is out there or the world is out there and activities are out there. There's nothing spiritual about that viewpoint at all. Nothing is out there, because it's only out there to that you in passing time. And if you're the you in passing time, you better pull your shingle in. It's of no value. You, to be helpful to yourself and to your neighbor, cannot live in passing time in this work. You have to live outside time. And then whatever comes to you for help is recognized as in time and therefore of no reality. And you know that whatever occurs in time is simply in your mind, because that's where time is. Time itself is not external. Time is in your mind. And everything in time is therefore in your mind too. And when you locate the person, the place, the thing, or condition in your mind, your work is never outside. Your work is in your own level of consciousness. There, you remove, dissolve, veto, transcend the concept in your consciousness of person, place, thing, condition. You don't heal in the outer. You recognize the unreality of this that is appearing in your consciousness, and in that recognition sometimes you have it all done. Similarly, you apply this to yourself. Now, I want you to try that, because if you can get it, and you happen not to be in the healing work, you are going to discover that you have the capacity. And so we're going to take your condition. And I know a few of us here who have a few conditions. Let us take your condition, not someone else's, and see where it is. Take it out of your body. It isn't there. Your condition is not in your body. Your condition is in your belief. Your condition is in your consciousness. And I don't care if it's a physical belief or something of a nature in the world, like a business. Your condition is in your mind. Otherwise, you wouldn't be aware of it, would you? That's why you're aware of it, because it's in your mind. Now, that's the place you do the healing. You don't do it in the outer thing, which you think is where it is. You do it where you know about it, in your mind. Now, what are you going to do? That is how you're going to remove it. You're going to transmute it from its appearance value in your mind, slowly knowing the truth of God instead. This that you call a condition, whatever nature it is only in your consciousness. It's not in mine. I don't know about it. Your neighbor doesn't know about it. Why don't they? Because it's in your consciousness, and that's where it must be hid. And now you've got the hot potato to get rid of. How are you going to get it out of your consciousness? Now that's the whole problem. That's the whole problem. And you say, well, let's see, I'll try to forget it. You know that won't work. I'll just ignore it. That won't work. And no matter what you try to do with your human mind, It's going to be right there staring you in the face. That's where it is, in your consciousness, and you can't get it out. You can go to a dentist to get your tooth out. You can pull a splinter out. But this thing in your consciousness that says, this is what's wrong with me, you can't get it out. Because you're in a false consciousness. You're in a consciousness that is separated from your own identity. Your consciousness someday is going to die, is it not? And therefore it must be in time. The consciousness that dies is in time. Therefore, you've got to find the consciousness that doesn't die, don't you? Because that consciousness is not in time. And in that consciousness, this that troubles you will not be. So instead of removing that which is in your consciousness, or trying to, you have to change your consciousness. You have to step out of the consciousness that is in dying time into the consciousness that is in living time. Now let's see how we're going to do that. This is more delicate than surgery. As you are in the consciousness that moves with time, you are not in now. You are moving right along with the world consciousness, and this that you believe is troubling you is part of the world consciousness of moving time. Now you have to stand ye fast. Find that pivotal place in consciousness which is not moving in time. That's all. Draw back. Take no thought. You find what is called the eternal Sabbath. Malchus's ear was one sense, but it typified all five. Now stop hearing what your brain is telling you about that so-called problem. Turn off the hearing sense. Turn off the visual sense of the problem. Don't see it with your eye. Turn off everything you have seen about that problem. Everything that your eyes have reported, because that eye is also in time. Your ear is in time. What about your brain? Is it going to be permanent? No, because it's moving in time. Your brain is incapable of knowing the truth. Turn it off. And where are you? No ear, no eye, no brain. You have no brain to know the problem. If you can accomplish this, you're in the Sabbath. And then something lifts you above all this into the peace. The calm. When thought stops, in that instant you are in the now. When ye think not. When you are unable to think about anything, just to rest in the non-thought, the world mind has been shorted, and it has no way to make communication and to proliferate the false problem that it had established in your consciousness in time. No thought takes you out of time, and your capacity to develop that state, that neutral state of no thought, takes you into now. It deepens. You feel something that is quite different. It's another country, a far country. Now, the more you develop this capacity to step out of thought into now, you will find you have discovered a force which counteracts the impression of your consciousness in time. And whether or not the world turns upside down or not, whether or not you suddenly jump up with a great lightning flash of an awareness, the slow, easy, calm, unruffled water of no thought is the greatest healer in the world. The deeper it gets, the more you are moving outside time, and suddenly time is no more. The continuity of the so-called problem is broken. World hypnosis is dehypnotized. And of course, this is just a preliminary because something must take you higher to the soul, and does, and when it does, you realize that which was your problem has in some unknown way been solved by some unknown force of your own being. I know it works because I've seen toothaches go in all kinds of little physical things, you know, like cramps and whatnot. And then you've seen bigger things go. You've seen things that, well, a car just avoids an accident, or a bug just decides it's a very friendly bug, and the problem of the disease just isn't there. The unexpected happens. The problem remains, but for some reason the pain isn't there. It doesn't hurt. The momentary paralysis of a limb just suddenly feels like it wants to get up and do a little jig. And somewhere, maybe 5,000 miles away, something else is happening that you'll hear about in 4 days. The moment you're in no thought, if you have had the chance to develop your spiritual consciousness, you're in contact with the entire infinite spiritual universe. And because I am the infinite spiritual universe, because I am the way, because I make all things new, the moment you're in that spiritual universe, outside the senses, I, in the midst of you, reveal to you the perfection of your being. You are a self-healer. And there's really no reason in the world why you don't practice so that you become one. And you'll know when you really are becoming one because that phone's going to ring even though you didn't put out a shingle. Some friend will be over with some problem, and don't say I can't help you, because nobody is asking you to help. The spirit of your being is the help. Get out of the way. Unself. Cut off your ear. As the master said, pluck out your eye. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. Meaning, do not believe what you see. Do not believe what you hear. But rather take it to the throne of your consciousness and rest there. Rest in the knowledge of wholeness. Wholeness is now. What else is now? God is now. The perfection of God is now. What's the difference? What the problem is? If the perfection of God is now, that individual who has entered your consciousness will receive that awareness that you reach, and no higher. If you reach a higher level, they will receive a higher level. The level that you can reach within yourself is what they will receive. The level you reach within yourself is what will be revealed unto you. And so basically, what Spirit is demanding of us is that we release our material problem and see it as a sign that we are not living in a conscious awareness that only Spirit is present. It's so easy to make the mistake of not listening to those words and still insisting that you have the material problem when only Spirit exists. You see how that is the tricks of time? And these tricks of time engulf us. These tricks of time are all over this world today. And few have the capacity to look through them by unselfing and finding now. When is there a time that God is not now? God is now. And if you're not in now, you're not in God. God is not past. God is not in the sliding moment. God is not in the future. God is now. You've got to get to now to find God. And having found now, you find God automatically. Having found now, you are under divine law. Now then, if you have never tried this, you have no way of knowing whether or not it's effective. And it may seem to you that it's so oblique, it just doesn't get right to, if you want to put a nail in the board, you get a hammer and you go smash. But here, this seems to be a different, you don't hit the nail on the head. You avoid the problem. You turn the other cheek. You cast your net on the other side of the ship. You do everything except treat the problem. And so you may feel, well, by gosh, how can that work? I'm not doing anything about the problem. And that's because if you try to do something about the problem, you're trying to solve that which God didn't create. God created no problem. That's the human way, the material way, the logical way, the human mind way, and the world is doing it. And the world has been doing it and failing. The world has been trying to solve its problems. Joel had a beautiful story about Marconi. I love to tell it because it's so typical of the short-sightedness of us in our healing work. He was just a young man, and he was quite sure that he would get there first before all of the elder scientists in the world to solve the problem of the wireless. He knew he couldn't miss. Why did he know it? Because he said, they're all working so hard to find out how to counteract the resistance of air currents to the wireless. He said, I'm not working on that because I know there is no resistance. And so I'll be the first to come through with the wireless. And that's why he was. In a straitjacket, the more you move and turn and twist, the worse it is. We're in this kind of a straitjacket when we try to treat the problem. That's like trying to overcome air resistance that isn't there. The moment you know not to treat the problem, you're 90% of the way home. Treat the consciousness that contains the problem. I'm going to emphasize it until even an individual who has never studied spiritual healing understands. Treat the consciousness that contains the problem and treat it by getting out of it. Lack is only in a consciousness of lack. You don't have to get into a consciousness of plenty. Just get into your spiritual identity. That consciousness has no lack. And be still. Be still. That consciousness is now. Now touches every base. Now you touch everywhere. Now you touch all that God is. Let's go to now and see if that will help you realize, I mean by realize, not think, but bring into visible reality that which is the truth of your being. Now are you the Spirit of God. With that as your focus, let that consciousness that you have, which thinks you are something else, not present ideas to you. Now you are the Spirit of God. You're not working on a problem. You're knowing that I am the invisible Spirit. I am connected to Spirit everywhere. There is no interruption and no division. I am connected to the Spirit of Jesus Christ, to the Spirit of every master who has ever walked the earth and every master who now walks behind the veil. One infinite invisible Spirit, and all of this is my Spirit. That's who I am. In this Spirit that I am, there is nothing else but my Spirit. There is no flesh. There is no physical body. There is no physical universe. There is no physical anything. In Spirit, I have all. All that exists, I have in Spirit. I have another body. I have another consciousness. I have another law of perfection, maintaining itself forever. I have wholeness. I have spiritual law, spiritual wholeness, spiritual perfection, spiritual reality. I have love without opposite, maintaining the perfection of my spiritual being. Why is it not showing? Because there is still a living mind which says, I am here, I am person, I am thing, I am a form, I have this weight, I am this old, and tomorrow I must do this and that. The active mind, which by its very presence denies who you are, as you unself, as you gradually release that mind's thought, that mind's presence, that mind's activity, as this diminishes, as you increase your knowledge of self, as you now move out above time and rest there above time into your everywhere, out of your form. Form no more. Move into the first century, just nice, far away from this seeming moment. Be a crusader in the 14th century. Move out. Move out into all areas of time, to the east and the west and the north and the south. Move out beyond space. Really, feel your presence everywhere, as if you were spreading your infinite wings. There is no place where your Spirit is not. Let it take root. Don't let gravity pull you back to the mind. Go back now before the beginning. That's a very hard place to find, and it's just perfect to lose the sense of mind. Go back before the beginning. It's a beautiful way to lose conscious thought. The senses can't work with this at all. Go now past the end, way, way past the end, and hold on to before the beginning at the same time. Your senses can't work here. I am now before the beginning, and I am now after the end, and it's all me, connected, without division, one continuous self. I am before the beginning, I am after the end. I am above the above and below the below. I am omnipresent spirit. And the more I can know this as the truth, the more it's going to fizz in my consciousness. Everywhere you look, I am. And where you cannot look, I am. I am beyond the sunrise. I am beyond the sunset. I am outside this world. There won't be someone there supplying the words for you, so you'll have to find your own way of rising out of the conscious thinking mind. And don't be alarmed if you have to sit there for a few minutes with nothing to do but be there. This is the equivalent of 40 days in the wilderness. This is the equivalent of strengthening your conscious awareness of a self that is not in a problem. Everyone in the Bible has his mountaintop. Your mountaintop is now. Infinite now. Now everywhere throughout the universe. I'm going to ask you to do something in a second. And then I'm going to ask you to do something 1 second right after that. And you'll see why. And that is, open your eyes now. And then close them and go right back where you were. Start all over again. All it does is take away the sense of getting into a groove that holds you nowhere practically sometimes, and you just sit there and sit there and nothing happens. Get out of it, go right back to it before the senses can change stride, and you'll find you outsmart them. Now while you're trying to do this, the senses are trying to do something else. The brain is trying to do something else. The memory is trying to do something. All unconscious levels of your body are trying to do something. Everything is trying to tell you that you can't hold a silence. And we're saying to everything else, who said I can't? All I've got to do is want to do it. I don't care if nothing's happening, or if I don't know what's happening. I'm holding the silence of no thought. Would it shock you to do this for an hour or two without even opening your eyes once? Would it shock you at 11 o'clock at night, for example, to do this till 12:30? Or at 6 in the morning to do it till 7? Just resting in the quiet? It's better than a vacation in Florida. Because things that you cannot accomplish any other way are accomplished this way. Just resting in the silence, and then all that seems so difficult suddenly finds its proper spot and you feel very comfortable. In fact, you kind of get a little saucy about it. You feel so good. You begin smiling inside because a peace begins. It's the luxury of not having to know anything. And it's called the cloud of unknowing. Suddenly the body isn't fighting anymore. It doesn't want to go in all directions. It sort of gives in. The mind is still. The waters are untroubled. In this peace, Christ walks upon the water. In this peace, the healings take place. In this peace, the conscious mind begins to rest. And you are very wide awake inside. Now, you may not recognize it, but as you find this peace, another self is working than your human self. Another self takes over. The infinite self, which is now, takes over. What it does, you do not see, you may not hear, but its work is done with such quickened pace that in 5 seconds of human time, it accomplishes what your thinking mind could not accomplish in a 24-hour day or a month of 24-hour day, because it works on an infinite level, not at a point. Now, take someone you love or someone you want to help into this quiet state. Aunt Sarah, Uncle Joe, little granddaughter Susie, anyone you like, just for the moment take them into this quiet state and recognize that this consciousness of peace is also where they are. I don't care at the moment where they happen to be, this consciousness of peace is also where they are. And just rest, because they are in your consciousness where this consciousness of peace is. And that is why this consciousness of peace is where they are. They are in your consciousness where this peace is, and rest there, let them fuse, just feel and wait until you feel very good about something. Now put your human selfhood in that picture. Pull your human selfhood into this picture, not even the picture of yourself, but just the knowledge that that which you call your human self has no life in this perfect peace, other than the life of the peace itself. The life of this peace is the life of your true self. Recognize it as the only you there is. And it will give a treatment to your human sense of self, all by itself. You see, your practitioner is this peace. But this is where Christ resides. There isn't a spot in all time or in all geography where this peace is not now present, behind the veil. You are connected through this peace to the infinite spiritual universe. And there's nothing to do but rest there. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. And in this peace, no understanding of a human mind can enter. But the work is done secretly and silently by the infinite soul. There's nothing specific to treat. This is the peace of your soul, your infinite soul, and it embraces all that you are, all that concerneth thee. And out of this peace invisibly goes forth the power of the Spirit. It goes before the so-called physical form. It performs and perfects what no human brain can do. I go before you. I make the crooked places straight. But now you've got I. It's not words. You've got the substance of I, the spirit of I, the presence of I. It needs no instruction. Just rest in me and let me do the work. For I in the midst of thee am mighty. This is the light of your being, which is the light where the world appeared to be. In this light is all that you had thought was important in your physical world, in its original perfect state. In this light is the blueprint of your being, the perfection of your body is here, the perfection of all that you are. The perfection of your consciousness. The perfection of all that you will ever do is in the invisible light of your being. You're touching it all when you rest in it. You have found your real practitioner. Before you ask, I shall answer. Even before you seek, I shall present that which you have sought. No need is ever unfulfilled in this invisible life. Things you didn't even know you needed. You are changing from man of earth to the living child of God in consciousness. The child who has no need, for all needs are fulfilled since the beginning of that sonship. Before the world was, all that you ever needed was included in your being. And in this light you are resting in that which was before the world, that which is, and that which is to come. We are having what may be called a group baptism of the Spirit. As you develop this capacity, you will be taken into other mansions of consciousness. You will be taken to places where you cannot enter with a body or with human thought. And ultimately into what is called the Holy of Holies, where yourself is known to you. This is just an apprenticeship to develop the capacity to oneself to let the Father live your life with trust, with confidence, with the sure knowledge that He knoweth your needs. Now, if it were me alone, I would stay here until I felt that I had somehow lost it. But as long as it is the way it is, I wouldn't be concerned about anything else. I would just remain, and whatever it did, it would do its own way without any guidance from a human mind. In this stillness of thought, beyond personal thought, you are not living by bread, but by the soul. You're living by divine thought, even though you don't hear it or feel it. And out of this comes the hidden manna. Nobody who can feel it wants to leave it. There's nothing more important. It's as if you had walked into an invisible mansion and you still had the blindfold on and you know someone is suddenly going to light one of the chandeliers and you can't wait. And you remain there. This is where the composer hears the music of the spheres. This is where the artist begins to see the invisible. This is where the poet receives the word he had never heard before, and the rhythm, and the soft, gentle touch of something he never knew existed. This is where beauty is born. This is where new harmony emerges and fills your life. This is where a new kind of love comes out of the cradle of your consciousness and immerses you in this gorgeous, silver feeling of new aura that you never suspected. This is where it begins. This is the womb of creation. This is the divine palette that paints. This is all of it. All you do is rest there again and again, and don't come out until you feel you have passed the point of being in. Just rest there. And then wherever you go, you look different, you feel different, everything you see feels different. There's the edge is taken off the fine divisions between people. The rigidity is gone. There's a subtle amalgamation of essence all around you. You don't even know where another person ends or you begin sometimes. It just feels so rhythmical, one total flow, even when later you move out into the world with your eyes open. It's different. And you know that you have been somewhere and you want to go back. It's out of this that the prophets prophesy, and that the prophets speak the words of the Ancient of Days, and that the prophets tell that which must be done. It's out of this that the Ten Tablets come to Moses. It's out of this that the so-called healings take place. Not by human effort. I'm still with those of you who went in to leave behind the problem in the consciousness which was human, and we're still resting in this invisible word, where during our entry and our stay, we were not conscious of any problem. We weren't conscious of any solution. We were just blissfully conscious. And someday that will escalate all by itself and take you into new levels of that until you almost feel that any more would be too much. And you can't find your body anymore. You can't find the chair you're supposed to be in, or the room, or the people around you. You weren't even aware that there were people. You were just aware of being there. There was a oneness, and yet it wasn't a oneness. It was a something else. And I'm quite sure that for each individual, it was quite different. And we'll never know. But you know what was yours and is yours. And I'm trying to say that when you enter this cocoon of silence and rise through it, outside of body, outside of human consciousness, outside of the smell and the touch and the taste and that sort of thing, you are cleansing, purifying your consciousness of false beliefs. You are preventing things that might have been in this world of no value to you. You are making your tomorrow a place where the harvest will be greater. Now, those of you who have not experienced this inner peace during this quiet time, experienced it, will discover the value and power of it. And those of you who have done this many times and experienced need not be told a word. But today we were working chiefly with those persons who thought they were persons and who thought they had a problem, but who will discover that when they enter this consciousness, they are neither person nor do they have a problem, but they are the living essence itself, who have been hiding their light under a bushel of problems. Now, sometimes you're going to do this for yourself. Other times you're just going to do it with no purpose. And still other times you're going to do it for others or for the world. But just as contemplative meditation is important, so is this deep silence of my peace. Sometimes it will accomplish what no surgeon can. It will accomplish what no human method can. And I know ultimately it will take you into your divine self realized. Tonight I'd like to have a little intermission before we proceed. And in that intermission, there'll be some water around. And then we'll just start in about 5 or 10 minutes, all over again with something else. Let's do that. The eternal day was not a thought. It was a fact that is too easily forgotten. When you are conscious of the eternal day, you'll find it's easier to step out of the rush of time. It's just another method. And let's see now that there is no time passing in the eternal day. You're in your larger self now,
not the self that's in this passing day. You're in that self which covers all of the eternal day. The size of the eternal day, which is infinite, is the size of you. And that self is always outside of time. That should be established quite often, so that during a week, if you haven't found yourself in the eternal day four or five times, you have missed an opportunity to stop time, or the unconscious flow of time. Now, in the eternal day, you're going to find some very exciting company, because that is the place where the Son of God lives. And all those who have attained sonship live in the eternal day. If you wanted to commune with the masters, don't expect them to come into time. You'll have to go where they are in the eternal day. And you won't have to invite them to talk to you. All you've got to do is be there, unselfed from humanhood, living in your eternal self, in the eternal day, resting and waiting for the invisible word to make itself your flesh. Now, there are no hotels in the eternal day. There are no conference rooms. There are no people in casual clothes. There is a different kind of form than we have seen on the earth. A different kind of vegetation. A different luster to colors. And the atmosphere is much clearer than anything we know in our present consciousness. Our minds cannot live there. Only our state of no thought can live there. This eternal day is again without beginning and without end, and without division. It is the home of God and the Son of God. It is the home of infinity and its infinite individualizations, which we are. Unless you live there, you cannot partake of its food. Every promise in the Bible depends on your living in the eternal day. Son, all that I have is thine, but you'll have to come to the eternal day to find it. The graves will open and the dead will rise when you learn to live in the eternal day. Whatever Jesus promised is not a promise in this world, but a promise of your treasures, your substance, your added things, your glory, your permanence, your ecstasy, your peace, your confidence, your harmony, your love, all in the eternal day. They are part of the atmosphere of the eternal day. They are fused into one in a substance beyond belief. They are what you live and breathe in the eternal day. We have sought them all in this world, and all we have here are the fragments, the hints, the clues, the fractions. And all of these fractions become the one perfection which embraces all that is in the atmosphere of the eternal day. Don't try to see a personal you there. Be the essence of it. Be that atmosphere of the eternal day. Be the full substance the full texture of it, the full purity of it, and you will understand why you are known as the light of the world. Now, in this eternal day, are the things you thought out here were problems. The lack of these in the eternal day is what creates the sense of problem in the world. It is not lacking. It simply is you're in the wrong place to receive it. In the eternal day, everything that you have sought throughout every lifespan is there waiting to be received by you the moment you cross the threshold of time. When the Bible tells you that all that I have is thine, and that nothing is missing, and that the fullness of the Father is yours, it is saying, come, rise up out of the passing moment into this eternal day. For here I am. Here is Christ Jesus, here is Christ John. Here are all those who walk with God. Don't look for your fulfillment in the outer world of matter and time. It isn't there. And don't accept your problems in the outer world of matter and time. Move into that which has no beginning and no end. Now that's all I wanted to say to you after the intermission. I did not want you to lose the awareness that the reality of you is always in the eternal day, and when you are not conscious of that eternal day, you're walking in your imitation self. It will always have problems. And now I'll see you in the morning at 8:30 a.m., and we are going to go to sleep again, knowing that the eternal day is where we are. We're merely putting body images to rest. Not ourself. Yourself never sleeps. Only a body image sleeps. Thank you again.